Moncrief on News Talk.
It's that time of the year when we're all trying to have some sort of a holiday. Some people are trying to do it low cost. Some people are trying to do it eco-friendly, low impact on the environment. So have you ever considered converting your car into a tiny home to take on holidays with you? Jennifer Sheehan from the Irish Examiner did just that. And she joins me now in studio. Welcome to the studio.
Lovely to be here.
We've been having a chat while we weren't on air. So let's go back and talk about all that because I find it all fascinating. And I know the listeners will too. So my TikTok and Instagram algorithm shows me all of these generally beautiful people going on these generally beautiful holidays in beautiful places in West USA in these vans that they have changed up themselves. How close to that are you and how can people do it here?
I mean, I'll leave you to judge how beautiful the whole scenario is.
But stunning.
I feel like a lot of these can be done for Instagram and for TikTok purposes only. And I think there's a little bit of favoritism happening in the US because they've got these massive highways. They can take mm-hmm. these huge trucks on the road. And, you know, we're here driving down West Cork and Kerry and these little Boreens, and we don't want to go so big. So I've gone very, very, very small. It's not quite the same spectacular conversion.
But you don't see the van parked up looking like a van in these photos. Yeah. You just see the bed or, you know, like the little fan fluttering the little window dressing thing.
And the beaded curtains yes. and the lovely kitchen backsplashes and all the clever designs. And when you have the weather for it and if you have the lifestyle, because I mean, a lot of those people are living in that van, like they've done a full life 180, a full kit out. They've taken to the roads. So what I've done is not quite a full life 180. I still have a job, but I really wanted a little small camper van that I could just take off in whenever I wanted. You know, partly born out of our lockdown days when going abroad wasn't so easy. And also because I have a dog, and while Ireland is getting much more dog friendly, you can't always guarantee that you're going to be able to go away for a weekend and either, you know, find someone to dog sit for you or take the dog with you. So a camper van is like the perfect little
solution.
Marriage of solutions. Yeah, it's amazing. So I had a few constraints, as I always do. So anyone who follows me on Instagram or Workers Cottage or has seen my house knows that it's really tiny and my street is very, very tiny. So I don't even have parking, dedicated parking. I certainly don't have space for a second car, not to mind a van. So what I needed for my little camper van was a small car that was going to fit in a standard size space that wasn't going to annoy all my neighbours by them trying to, you know, squeeze out of our little narrow street. So I bought an MPV, a small 7-seater, the same size as kind of a mini cab, you know,
yeah.
7-seater.
So this
taxi.
Like if you asked me or any child to draw a 7-seater, like a big family kind of a van
yeah.
thing, this is what I would draw.
Soccer mom car yeah. or soccer dad car.
What is
car.
It? It's a Nissan.
It's a Nissan Serena. So it was a Serena. Japanese import. And there was a few things I wanted to do. I wanted to buy a passenger vehicle because that comes pre-insulated. So there's less work that you have to do when you're converting. So often people will buy, you know, a commercial vehicle like a Volkswagen Transporter or something like that. But actually, if you buy a car that has been designed to carry passengers, they're already insulated. So there's a lot of work already done for you if you're doing the conversion yourself. Yeah, which is really handy.
So if you buy one of those vans that kind of has the back windows metalled out, they're not insulated.
Exactly.
So you have to do that.
Okay. Typically. Now, it's not a huge job to insulate it. And if you're handy and you have the workspace and all that, fine. But it's just one step less.
And so yours came with what, 7 seats?
Yeah.
Like 3 rows of seats.
3 rows of seats. And they were easy to rip out. And one thing I really wanted to look for when I was looking for the car was that it had a flat floor because it makes it so much easier to install anything else that you want to install.
Okay.
So this means, you know, you don't have those big wheel cutouts at the side and you don't have all these kind of different shapes and everything. It was just a flat floor. So super easy just to rip out the back seats. And I'll give a huge shout out to Pathfinders up in County Leitrim. They were absolutely brilliant. They took on the challenge of, you know, doing such a tiny car. They hadn't even done it before and they did an amazing job. They took out all the seats. And what they put in then instead was what's called a rock and roll bed, which I can't get enough of. So this is a bench seating. It has to be secured onto the chassis if you want to be able to carry passengers in it legally, right, okay. to pass the NCT and all that.
So are these going along the sides?
These are, no, just like bench kind of seating in replacement of what would have been individual seats. So still facing forward, still with seatbelts on them, all that kind of thing. But they fold down flat. So they just, you know, accordion out flat into a bed, a double size bed in this tiny little car. And they have memory foam all on the back of them. So they're quite comfortable. I still need a bit of a mattress overlay on it, if I'm honest. But it would do the job. Like, it's quite a comfortable bed.
Okay.
So that's the bedding. And then they installed this very narrow, very tiny, very clever little kitchen unit along the side.
Which
so
side are we talking
tiny
about?
Little sink. It's along the right-hand side, so behind the driver's seat.
Okay.
You've got this very tiny little sink. I mean, it's about a hand's width wide at most.
And would that does that door still open?
Yeah, the door still opens. And what you can access in behind that then is the water tank for the sink.
Okay.
So you can take that in and out. There's one tank for the fresh water, one tank for the wastewater, and then there's a little electrical tap that pumps the water into the sink. And there's some additional storage in behind there. So what I have, for example, is a picnic bag, because that has all of my forks and knives and spoons and plates and little chopping boards and salt and pepper shakers and everything in there. And it's super easy to just pack away then when you're finished with it.
And presumably you just like make sure that the tank is filled with clean water and then you empty it in the evenings
or
whatever.
Exactly. And that grey water can just go down the drain. And then in a genius move, they installed a tiny little shower in the back of the car. Now, obviously I need to shower with a swimsuit on or something to, you know, abide by the laws of the country. But there is a water tank that they have inserted into the boot. It's called a Power Monkey. I'll double check that and put it on my Instagram, but I'm pretty sure it's Power Monkey. And it's, you just fill it up with, you know, your garden hose or with a kettle if you want it warm. You could, you know, boil up a kettle on your little camper stove. And it has a little, it plugs into a little 12 volt socket in the back of the car, and you have an electric shower to hose off when you get out to the sea.
But where are you doing that?
So the shower head, the boot.
Okay.
And I have one of those boots that opens overhead, and it has a little suction cup holder on it. Mm-hmm. So you just stick the shower head to the boot. Now, I'm not the tallest person, I'm about, you know, 5'4". So I can stand underneath the open, but you could stick it onto the side of the car as well. Like, it'll suction onto anything. And it's a fairly powerful little thing. Like, it's brilliant for if you get out of the sea.
The sea, and you just want to rinse down.
Yeah.
And how often are you using this? And also, where do you park it?
Yeah. So if I'm going away for more than a couple of days, I have, and I think this is key, a drive away awning. I bought it in Charles's Camping down in Blessington. They're absolutely brilliant. And the brand is Van Gogh. I think it's Van Gogh Tonga, it's called. It's one of those air inflatable awnings. So you're not messing around with the poles. You just pump it up and the skeleton of the thing inflates, and then you have your awning and you tie it down to your car.
Okay.
And that's so handy if you're parked up for a few days, you know, a day or two or more, because it gives you a living space, somewhere to get changed, an additional bedroom. If you have, you know, you're traveling with friends, you could put a blow up mattress in there. But more typically, I'll either take off for the day and decide not to come home if I'm having a lot of fun and I want to stay by the beach, or, you know, I've gone across the country or something like that. Or just for, you know, a Friday or Saturday night when the weather is good, which recently, I mean, touch wood,
it has
really
been
really nice. Yeah.
And do you park it in places where there are also other vans, or how do you?
Yeah, I've gotten a bit braver and a bit braver. So mine doesn't look like a camper van at all. So I'm not saying I've done anything illegal, but, you know, you can get away sometimes with parking in car parks or on the side of the road. There's an unbelievable website called Park for Night. So Park, the number four, and Night. And it has brilliant spots, really good advice for where you're actually allowed to park up, even if it's not necessarily a campsite. But Ireland is littered with really, really good campsites, you know, electrical hookups and fresh water hookups. And it's nice to have that security, especially if you're traveling alone.
Yeah. But my other concern then is, right, because my closest experience to this is one time I went to an outdoor cinema and we, you know, like, you turn off the car, but you turn on the radio, and like very, very quickly I was freezing.
Yeah.
Because the car was turned off and it wasn't even like winter.
Yeah.
So how do you, but like, you don't want to keep the car on all night, and then if you keep the windows open, it's even colder. But if you don't, they fog up. So how do you manage all that?
And it can also get very hot, you know, like it's a two-way street. So yeah, there's two things you can do. One is, if you're really only sleeping in the car and you just have a good sleeping bag, then you're fine. You know, you're not going to perish like in a car.
Yeah.
But what you can buy is these really compact heater/cooler systems. They have them down in Charles's Camping as well, actually. And they're not... they plug into your leisure battery. So Pathfinder's installed a leisure battery for me, which charges from the main car battery, which is really handy. You could also get solar panels or whatever you wanted if you have enough roof space. And you can plug in just a tiny electrical heater, and you're dealing with such a small space it heats up very quickly. You could just, you know, especially if you look for one that has a timer on it, 5 minutes every half an hour, it would be plenty to keep that car hot all night.
And how many people would comfortably sleep in it?
I mean, intimately, two.
Yes.
You want to be very, very close with the person you're sleeping with. But if you get one of those drive-away awnings, or, you know, even just a pop-up tent or something like that, then you can bring a gang of friends with you and they can sleep.
Sorry, I haven't been looking at my screen, but we've loads of texts
for
you. Can you ask Jennifer how insurance works on the car if it's converted?
Great question. And it was a bit of an issue. So I got it converted via Revenue as a camper van,
yeah,
which meant that my original insurance company, you know, following the conversion, didn't cover that type of conversion. And I had an issue because the car is so small. Most camper van insurance companies want you to have a minimum of 6 feet clearance on the inside, which I didn't. So Richardson's insurance company, LKH, Richardson's, they were an absolute pleasure to deal with. Really, really good value. I totally recommend them.
Can I ask the camper van lady, I have a wheelchair van with two seats in the back. I'd love to use it as an overnight van sometimes, but I do have the wheel thing sticking up in the back and I do need to use it as a wheelchair van the rest of the time. Is it really messy to take the camper van parts in and out for different purposes? Is it possible to do this or does it have to be fully converted and left like that?
No, and if you're only looking for an occasional use, what you could look up is a camper van conversion kit. So you can buy these things, you know, they're almost just like, they're designed to fit standard cars and most cars are roughly within a standard width. So if you have somewhere to store this when you're not using it, if you have a garage or a spare room or something like that and you're okay with pulling it in and out, you can buy these kits that will fold out, you know, they'll have a platform that